Shalom, everyone. The Gemara discussing all of Seder Nezikin, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Battle that we'll see, Bezrat Hashem, is dealing with transaction and dealing with money and how we buy, how we, what happened when we lose, when we want to exchange, what is my responsibility, what is the buyer's responsibility, how much money, how everything is worth, how do we know how to do that? Who is to decide the laws, etc. But underneath all of that, underneath all of Seder Nezikim, rests a very fundamental truth that Chachamim from time to time are giving us hints of that or reminding us of that. And it's the point being that if we don't have trust in each other, then none of those laws are going to help us. In other words, in order for our society to function, well, not only do we need to believe in each other that we all, listen to the same law, but also that the law is protecting us if something wrong happened to us legally. And then I can come to court and I can prove my case, and then I'll be paid whatever I supposed to get. And one of the most striking sentences in terms of what lies beneath all these societal laws is a statement by the Gemara that appears also in Midrashim and in other Gemarot and in commentators on the Torah, both Rishonim and Achronim, that God will punish those who don't stand in their words. In other words, that are saying things and don't keep what they're saying. And I want to share the sources and let's see it inside. So the Gemara in page 48 is saying the following: he who exacted payment from the people of the generation of the flood and from the generation of the dispersion, in other words, Tower of Babel, and the inhabitants of Sodom and Amorah, and the Egyptians at the Red Sea, he will in the future exact payment from whoever does not stand by his statement. In other words, if someone don't stand by his words, if someone say something and act differently, say something and regret, said something which is a lie, okay, promised something and they don't keep. This says the Midrash, this is a Mishnah that the Gemara quotes, and this also appears in many Midrashim, that God views that as badly as really horrible people. The generation of the flood, the generation of the Tower of Babel, the people of Sodom and Amorah, and the Egyptians. Now, all of these people, all of these four generations got punished, got their punishment through God. God punished them in a godly punishment by changing the law of nature. Their punishment was not something people could have done. The same thing, if someone doesn't keep their words, it is as bad, and God will punish them. And I think this is when we've seen it in other little classes that we're finding ourselves here in Chavruta, which I just need to imagine who you are over there, that the value of words is essential in Judaism. And as God created the world with words, that ability of speaking is a godly ability that allowed us to transform and translate thoughts into words. This is a very high ability that we have, but that ability can either bring us to the highest or bring us to the lowest. And when the Midrash in Bereshit Rabbah is trying to understand that sentence, they say, as the earth is filled with injustice because of them, this is what God told Noah, why is he bringing the Mabul? And what is injustice? And what is stealing? Okay, what's the difference between Hamas and Gezel? What is unjust? Injustice and what is stealing. And Rabbi Hanina is saying injustice, Hamas, involves less than peruta, and robbery involves a peruta. In other words, what Rabbi Hanina is saying here, I can take an amount of something that doesn't belong to me, which is just going to be injustice, but it's not going to be enough for the person to sue me that I stole, that I robbed them for their belonging. And this is what the members of the generation of the flood would do. One of them would take out a basket filled with lupin beans to the marketplace in order to sell them. One person will come and take less than a puta worth. Another would come and take less than a puta worth, less than the amount for which one would be able to collect compensations in court. In other words, this person wants to sell his goods in order to make a living, and the people around would take just a little bit. You know, I'm just gonna take, you know, just a little bit of this place and just a little bit of that place, and no one can blame me in stealing, and by that they are robbing him in an injustice way to make a living. And says the Midrash, and the Holy One blessed, he said to them, you acted improperly, I too will act improperly with you. In other words, the Midah keneged Midah, you did something chamas, you did something improperly, the punishment will be improper as well. You'll find yourself in a situation where you never found yourself before. The Midrash in Shmot Rabbah is taking another angle, and it says, another matter, a king upholds the land with justice. This is a quote from Proverbs, and the Midrash is saying that the pasuk says a king upholds the land with justice. In other words, a real king, you know, make justice in the land where he rules. And says the Midrash, this is Israel, as it states, you shall be for me a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests means that whatever kingdom or government you will build, they will be based on justice. But a man of donations will destroy it. Okay, the other side of being a kingdom of justice is a place with donations. This is the generation of the flood, which did not implant justice. See what it's written in their regard. They drive the donkey of orphans. They turn the indigent from the way. In other words, they were not occupied with justice and truth and be rightful in their words. All they want is just to appear like they're doing something good. But really what they did is that they drive the donkey, like they took away the donkey of an orphan, which was these only... his only way of making a living, and they turned the indigent from the way, and they just made them, you know, sometimes being even robbers because they didn't let them have what they could have given them as being at the least, you know, at the end of the society change. So not being part of Dor Mabul, being part of a generation who were so injustice, these acts caused a punishment from God. And the Shita Mekubetzet, Rav Bezalel Ashkenazi, from the 16th century in Eretz Israel, is saying the following. He who exact payment from the generation of the flood, who were full of evil doing and who did not stand by their words. And the Egyptians did not stand by their word. Every time they said to send Israel out of Egypt, and they reneged, and they changed their mind. Shita Mekubetzet is bringing us to an understanding the sin of Mitzrayim in not standing by their words, telling Am Yisrael every time, okay, now you will go, and then regret, now you will go, and they didn't stand in their words. And we can just imagine emotionally, mentally, what that means when you get your hopes high to be released from slavery or from being a hostage, and then the other people who are acting in a Hamas way, they don't stand by their words. And how mad And again, remember that the punishment will come from God. We find Moshe dealing with that speak thing, as we all remember. Please, oh my Lord, I have never been a man of words either, you know, God. But Moses said to him, but Moses said to God, in times past or now that you have spoken to your servant, I am slow of speech and low of tongue. I don't know how to speak. And God needs to persuade Moshe that he has that ability, that even if he's stutterness, slow in tongue and slow in speech, God will be with him because he has this ability. And God teaches us through Moshe and teaches the Egyptians, Leavdil, through Moshe, that it's the words are so important, and they change their words. But when God is saying God's words and God's promises, of course, they will be, they'll happen. They'll come true. And that's how God tells Moshe, and God told him, who gives human speech? Who makes them dumb or deaf, seeing or blind? It is not I, God. Now go, and I will be with you as you speak and will instruct you what to say. When a person understands the higher places, that the higher abilities that we have that come from God, then we are careful with what we're saying, and God is with our words. But when we forget the godly part in our speech, then we can use our speech to hurt other people and promise and not keep like the Egyptians. Hashla Kadosh Rabbi Yeshayahu Horovitz is adding this element. The prophet Zechariah said, thus said God, I have returned to Zion and I will dwell in Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be called the city of faithfulness, of emet in the Hebrew. And ask Hashla, and it is difficult for me, what is the matter with this name that called the city of truth and not the city of justice or the city or the like? Okay, so in other words, says the Shla Kadosh, I didn't bring the answer, but the question is great. Okay, why does God call the city of Jerusalem the city of faithfulness, the city of truth? Why not justice? I think that justice is just the plain appearance of Seder Nezikin. We need to be just. But if we don't understand the reason to be just, and that's the faithfulness, that's the truth, if we don't understand that underneath all of that, and due to everything that we have, is the truth, is the faithfulness. If we don't understand that, if we don't act on that, then chaos can appear amidst, God forbid. And Rav Soloveitchik, in the most beautiful, one of his beautiful essays, I really, really love that essay of redemption, prayer, and Talmud Torah, is talking about the fact that redemption is the same as mutual attachment. And mutual attachment can arvut hadadit is really what we're talking about in the entire Seder Nezikin. Is ha'itkashrut ha'adadit, is the togetherness, like what's between you and me? Why do I owe you as my neighbor not to make noise or not to steal your things when you put them outside? The mutual attachment is redemption. And when we don't have that, when we don't have the trust in society, then every neighbor and every person is objectively can be a criminal that comes to hurt me, and then there's no redemption, then there's slavery. So again, Rav Soloveitchik, redemption is the same mutual attachment with the revelation of the word, that is with the appearance of speech. You know, when we start to talk, when we have ability of speaking, this can bring us to redemption. But if what we're saying, as we said, we saw in our daf, what we're saying is against that high ability, then it's the opposite of redemption. When a people abandon a silent world, the people of Israel in Egypt were silent, were slaves. But when they abandon a silent world and enters a world of sound, of speech and song, it becomes a redeeming people, a free people. And we were slaves. Moshe Rabbeinu cannot talk, maybe also to sympathize with the people of Israel. God is not speaking to the people of Israel throughout the time in Egypt. And when they cross the Red Sea in the other side of freedom, then all of a sudden they're able to sing, both them and Moshe. And then God reveals himself in you know, the speech come back, also the speech of God. So then it becomes a freed people. In other words, muted life is the same as slavery. A life endowed with speech is a life of freedom. Judaism, in contrast to the mystical orthodoxy that praised tolerance towards pain, desires human to cry out loudly against any kind of pain, to react with rage towards any injustice and unfairness. Yes, we need to use our words against any injustice and unfairness, or to any kind of pain. This is why we have words, in order for society to be just, in order for society to lay its roots upon faithfulness. And this is what Judaism teaches us, as opposed to the other four groups who did not stand in their speech. And that's why God is the one who is punishing them, because they betrayed the core existence of humanity, the way that God created it. And Rav Kook is saying, at the meeting point between the man become a living soul and the spirit feels, lies the great question regarding the expression and formulation, which are in fact copies reality, that will be faithful to the original. It is the fundamental difficulty that occupied Moshe, who claimed, I am selfish with a heavy mouth and a heavy tongue. And Moshe's difficulties in expressing themselves stemmed from his super misunderstanding. And when an appropriate way was found to formulate them, the stuttering was created. So Rav Kook is taking us to a different realm, and he says that the reason why Moshe couldn't speak well, and was kvad pen, kvad lashon, is because he had such high thoughts, and he couldn't really articulate them. And God helped him, you know, to be able to articulate the higher thoughts in the proper words. But this is, says Rav Kook, this is us. We are all the living souls who have the ability to speak, and the ability to speak can either connect us to God and his and the higher existence of people that are using words in order to create life and bring good to the world, or as people who don't stand by their speech and go against everything that God intended to humanity. And we will finish with a Sfat Emet, the Rebbe Migur, that says, after we finish the Shema Yisrael, Im Ga'al Yisrael, before we start the Amidah, we say this beautiful little pasuk of Adonai Sifatai Tiftach Ufi Yagiti Latecha, the Lord shall open my lips and my mouth shall speak of your glory. Therefore, we must trust redemption. We must trust redemption to pray. We must connect redemption to pray. Since upon the Exodus from Egypt, the mouth of Israel were opened, and they set it between redemption and prayer, because this is the purpose of redemption, to be opening the mouths of Israel. This is the purpose of redemption. So God redeemed us, Ga'al Israel, and then before we stand and pray, we are saying, thank you, God, for giving us words. And that's why words are kind of a deposit that God gave us, that if we betray the deposit, if we use our words against humanity, against God, against truth, against faithfulness, against the stability of a society, then it's going to go, God forbid, against us. The ability to use a word, to use our words in order to create worlds.